The Gemara Maseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis teaches that Ezra HaSofer enacted a special takana that the Jewish people were required to read Parshas Bechukosai prior to the holiday Shavuos, which is just some days ahead of us. The Gemara teaches Ezra Tikin Lehem Yisrael Shukarn Klolos Shibataras Kohanim Kodem Atzeres, that the klolos, the rebuke, the punishments that are discussed, that are articulated in Parshas Bechukosai, required to be read prior to Atzeres. Atzeres, of course, is Shavuos. Not only did Ezra make that takana, but also Ezra required that the klolos, the rebuke that is listed in Sefer Dvarim, in Mishneh Torah, in Parshas Kisavo, is also required to be read prior to Rosh Hashanah. Of course, the Torah teaches that there are two klalos. There's the klalos that we read in Parshas Bechukosai in Sefer Vayikra, and there are klalos in Parshas Kisavo in Sefer Dvarim, and each of them are required to be read prior to Rosh Hashanah for Sefer Dvarim and prior to Shavuos in Sefer Vayikra. Asks the Gemara, my time, why is it that each of the klalos that are in the Sefer Torah and Chamisha Chumshe Torah are required to be read, one prior to Rosh Hashanah and two prior to Shavuos? Amar Abai v'temesh Reish Lakish kedei shetichle shana v'kilu loseh. In order to finish the year with all the curses, the klalos should be completed prior to Rosh Hashanah and the klalos should be completed prior to Shavuos. The Gemara explains it makes sense that those prior to Rosh Hashanah, the ones found in Parshas Kisavo and Sefer Dvarim, have to be completed prior to Rosh Hashanah, because of course that's the beginning of the new year. But indeed, how could it be that there are a new year, or there is a new year following Shavuos? Elisha b'taras kohanim atu atzeres Rosh Hashanah. Is it possible that atzeres Shavuos is considered to be a Rosh Hashanah, and that's the reason that you have to complete the reading of the klalos and Parshas Bechukosai prior to Shavuos? The Gemara says, indeed that is the case, Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos is also considered to be Rosh Hashanah, as the Mishnah teaches, Ubatzeres Al Peros HaIlan, that on Atzeres, on Shavuos, is the new holiday, is the Rosh Hashanah LaIlano. So we see what happens and what emerges from the Takana of Ezra, is that Ezra required and equated the Klalos in Torah's Kohanim and the Klalos in Mishnah Torah, the Klalos in Parshas Bechukosa and the Klalos in Parshas Kisavo, in order that they be read, one prior to Rosh Hashanah, those in Parshas Kisavo, and the ones in Parshas Bechukosai, which we just read, also are found dafka immediately prior to Shavuos. So in that respect, the two klalos, one in Sefer Vayikra and two in Sefer Dvarim, are exactly identical. However, the Gemara earlier on the page notes that there is a fundamental and categorical difference between the two klalos. The klalos found in Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Bechukosai are written b'loshon rabim in the plural, and they are stated directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. As opposed to the klalos written in Parshas Kisavo, those klalos are written b'loshon yachid in the singular, and not directly from Hashem, but rather via Moshe. Moshe acted as a shliach. So therefore, the Gemara understands that the klalos that we just read in Parshas Bechukosai are much more strict, are much more severe, are much more stringent, because they come directly from God and they're spoken to all of the Jewish people. As opposed to the klalos in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Kisavo is only spoken to the yachid, to the individual, as well as the fact that Hashem didn't say them directly, but rather God spoke to Moshe, and Moshe then in turn turned to the Jewish people. Interestingly enough, the Rechaim HaKadosh notes that there's even a third difference between the two sets of klalos, and that is that the Rechaim notes that at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, after the klalos, after the curses, there is a nechama. As the Pasuk says in Parshas Bechukosai, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Membeis, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avraham eskor, v'aretz eskor. God tells us even after all the klalos, all the curses, all the punishments, all the pain and suffering that the Jewish people will receive as a result of not following the way of God, nonetheless, God will still remember the covenant of our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still remember Haaretz, the land of Eretz Yisrael. However, if you take a look in Parshas Kisavo, there's no nechama. There's no consolation whatsoever after the difficult curses that are given to the Jewish people. Asks the Orachayim HaKadosh, why? Why is it that following the klalos in Parshas Bechukosai, which we just read, that there is a nechama, there is some level of consolation, as opposed to following Parshas Kisavo, the klalos there's no consolation whatsoever. And indeed, Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, because dafka, because the ones in Parshas Bechukosai are spoken b'lashon rabbim. They're spoken to the people, to the general population, the totality of the Jewish people. And therefore, whenever Klal Yisrael are together, even though it's because of a klala, even though we were cursed, and even though we are being punished as a result of what we did, the fact that we're together, that the Jewish people are together as a unit, as a group, as a klal, there's always a guarantee for the tzibur that there'll be a nechama. As opposed to the klalos and parshas kisavu, which are written to the yachid, to the individual, there's no guarantee that there'll be a salvation. There's no guarantee that there'll be a redemption. It's only when we're together as a unit, as a klal, be'achdus, that's when there'll be some level of consolation. And of course, it's timely, both of the klalos that are read, the ones that are read prior to Shavuos, when Klal Yisrael needs to be together before we receive the Torah, the Pasuk tells us, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kineged Ahar, the Jewish people stood together as a group. And Rashi notes, Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad, with one heart, with one spirit, we were all together. And therefore, as a result, it's no coincidence that it's Dafka, the Klalos, and Parshas B'Chukosai, which are read immediately prior to Shavuot, in order to appreciate the ability for us to come together, to band together. And if we do band together, then ultimately we'll be recipients and appropriate recipients of the Torah. As opposed to the Klalos and Parshas Kisavu, immediately prior to Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is speaking to the individual. Hashem is speaking to the person, to one, to you, and to that person, and to the other individual. There it's up to each individual to do tshuva prior to Rosh Hashanah. If we do tshuva, then ultimately I, the person who did tshuva, will receive a nechama, receive a consolation. And the person who didn't, unfortunately, will not. Therefore, in Parshas Kisavu, which is read prior, immediately prior to Rosh Hashanah, there's no guarantee, there's no nechama, it's up to the individual to make sure to do tshuva. So indeed, we see that on one level, Parshas Bechukosai and Parshas Kisavu, the two sets of klalos that are listed in the Torah are the same and are a parallel in the fact and in the respect that they're each read prior to two special holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Sefer Dvarim, and Shavuos and Parshas Bechukosai. But on the other hand, we see three fundamental differences. In Parshas Bechukosai, it's written B'Lashon Rabbim to Klal Yisrael. It's direct curse from God, and ultimately there's Nechama, there's consolation, as opposed to in Parshas Kisavo, where it's written B'Lashon Yachid to the individual. It's not directly said from God to the Klal, but it's via Moshe as the Shliach, and there as well we find that there's no Nechama whatsoever. As a result of these fundamental distinctions between the two klalos, the Gemara notes, because Parshas Bechukosai is more severe and more stringent as a result of God speaking to everybody, therefore the Gemara paskins that when it comes to these klalos in Sefer Vayikra, they cannot be stopped whatsoever. The person who gets the Aliyah has to keep on going all the way to the end. Ein mafsikin beklalos, says the Mishnah Meseches Megillah. And Daf Lamed. There's no stopping. And asks the Gemara, Minohani Mile, why do you not stop? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishle Paragimel, Musar Hashem Bini Al Timas. Don't look aside. Don't look away from the Musar, from the rebuke that you are receiving. And when rebuke is coming your way via the klalos, the punishments, the curses that we are receiving, the person who gets up to receive the Aliyah should receive the Aliyah in total. And there should be no stopping whatsoever, and that's why the halacha teaches ein mafsikin beklalos. Rashi, however, has a different pshat, quoting from the Maseches Sofrim in Perek Yudbeis, that the limud is from the end of the pasuk. It's not from the words Musar Hashem bini al timas, but rather it's from the end of the pasuk that says val takutz betochachto. And Rashi understands what that means: al tasu kotzin kotzin, psukin psukin lashon ketzitza. Don't make stop and stop and start and stop and start. Al takutz betochachto. Don't stop when you hear Musar and you hear the rebuke of God and the curses of Hashem. Listen, hone in, listen carefully, and make sure that you're absolutely listening and there's going to be no stoppage whatsoever. And that's the first reason the Gemara gives why you don't stop when the klalos are being read. The second reason that the Gemara gives, in the name of Reish Lakish, Ein Omen Bracha La Puranius. You never make a blessing when you're receiving rebuke. How could you make a new bracha? Asher Bacha Banim Yikolo Ami Menasan Lanu Estaraso Meseches Sofrim adds, it doesn't make sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein Yidin Shu Banim Iskalalin Vanim Isbarich. How could it be that I'm giving a curse and my children are blessing me? Those two things can't go together, and therefore, as a result, whoever receives the Aliyah, that should be the only bracha that's recited on the klalos. Keep on going until the end. Those are the two reasons that the Gemara uses to explain why you're not mafsik, why you don't stop when the klalos are being read. The Gemara, of course, asks, but somebody has to make a bracha, and you're reading the klalos, hechi avid, so how do you do it? The Gemara says, kishu maschil maschil b'pasuk shelefneim, u'kishu misayim misayim b'pasuk shelachareim. Whoever is getting the aliyah should begin before, a few psukim in advance of the actual curses, and when the klalos are finished, you shouldn't stop there, and you shouldn't make the bracha immediately then, but rather you should read a few more psukim, and then complete the parsha as a result, so a bracha is not being directly made on the klalos. Indeed, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the conclusion of the Gemara, in Simen Tavchov Ches, in Orach Chaim, we paskin in Sevav, Klolo Shebetaras Kohanin Eim Mafsikim Hem. When it comes to the curses that were read in Parshas Buchukosai, in Toras Kohanim, there's no stopping. Once you read them, you keep on going till the end. Ela Echar Kore Kulam, one person gets an aliyah for the entire gamut of all of the Klolos that are read. You begin a few psukim prior to the klalos, and you finish a few psukim after. When it comes to the curses that are read in Parshas Kisavo, in Sefer Dvarim, it's permitted to stop for them, as the Gemara understood, that those klalos are not as severe. It's not God saying them directly, and it's not God telling them to all of the Jewish people. It's Moshe telling them, and only to the yachid, to the individual. And therefore, in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Dvarim, you can stop, and you can make a bracha on the klalos. However, the Mechaber concludes and explains, based upon the psak of the Rambam, that the custom is shelo lahafsik behem. Even when it comes to Mishneh Torah, the klalos, the curses which are less severe, the custom is exactly equivalent to the custom and to the halacha, as the Shulchan Aruch explained in Sefer Vayikra, and both when it comes to Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Buchukosa, as well as when it comes to Sefer Dvarim and Parshas Kisavo, you don't stop, you keep on reading, one person gets the aliyah, you start a few psukim before, you finish a few psukim after, and then you conclude the klalos. So therefore, at the end of the day, even though the klalos that we read in Parshas Buchukosa indeed are more severe, nonetheless, the minhag is that we equate the klalos in Toras Kohanim and the klalos in Mishneh Torah. One person reads them all, and you're not mafsik, and at the same time, you start a few psukim before, and you start a few psukim after. The question that we do have to ask, and this is a question that already dates back to the Maril and the Rishonim, who takes this aliyah? Who receives this aliyah? So much so that this question historically has become such a painful one that the Mishneh Berurah notes that there's been a terrible confusion, because there have been some communities, some constituencies, some locations, that when the community reached the parsha of Buchukosai u'Kisavo, they would not read the Torah at all on that Shabbos. They would skip the laning as a result of the fact that nobody wanted to receive the aliyah. Nobody wanted to get the aliyah of the curses. They're such a painful thing. How could you make a bracha? Who's going to make the bracha? Who are you going to call up? However, the Mishneh Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, says that's not a good thing to do. Number one, because you're missing the Kriyas HaTorah for that week. That's a takana, an ancient takana from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Pasuk says. That's what you have to do. Furthermore, as the Pasuk says, Musar Hashem b'ni altimas, you shouldn't be disgusted by the Musar of Hashem. You should accept it. And if you don't read the Tochacha, it's even worse, because you're not paying any attention and you're not heeding the word of God. Therefore, the Mishneh Berurah says that it's an awful mistake, it's a terrible mistake, that those who are not reading the Kriyas HaTorah of that Shabbos of Parshas Buchukosai, Parshas Kisavo, should make sure to return to the custom, to the halacha, to read Kriyas HaTorah and to make sure to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah of that Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal and he says, could you imagine if somebody's told that there's a minefield or that there are holes in the ground, or you'll get tripped up, that the person will tell you, well, you know what, I'll put a blindfold on me and then I won't see them. Nobody would do such a thing. You got to open your eyes. When you know there's danger, you got to look, you got to listen, you got to figure out how to handle it, how to manage it. Could a person come along and say, I'll just simply put on a blindfold, I'm not going to look, and even if I fall, nobody will see me fall, I won't see myself fall, I won't get in trouble? That's a silly thing to do, says the Mishneh Berurah. So certainly when it comes to learning, studying, hearing the Musar, the words of God, indeed we should pay careful attention, we should listen closely, we should heed to the advice of God as to how to be proper, how to follow B'Torah Hashem, and of course not to slain Kriyas HaTorah, not to get that bracha, would be inappropriate. So we do see that historically there were communities that, number one, either didn't read the parsha, or, as the Mishneh Berurah explains, there are certain communities that would read it, but nobody would come up and nobody would make the bracha. And both of those, says the Mishneh Berurah, in his Be'er Halacha, is inappropriate. It's wrong. Somebody should get the aliyah. Certainly it should be read. That's what the Gemara says, and that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. However, we still have the question, who? who is going to receive the Aliyah of the Tochacha. And the Ramah here in Siman Tav Chav Ches Vav writes as follows: V'chein noagin shlo likros echad b'shmo. When a person is called up for this Aliyah in Parshas Bichukosai or Parshas Kisavu, you don't call him up by name. Elokorin mi shiyirtze. You call mi shiyirtze. Now, how do you understand what that means, mi shiyirtze, the person who wants? Now, literally, that means you would say, ya'amod mi shiyirtze, you'll call up, we're calling up whoever wants. But that doesn't sound like the appropriate thing to do. We don't find such a thing. The Mishnah Berurah again in his Be'er Halakha says, is that really what it means, that you call up mi shiyirtze, you use those words? You never find such a thing. If you take a look at the Maharil inside, who is the source of the Ramah, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, Sivav, the Mishnah Berurah notes, the Maharil notes, that indeed there was a custom actually to say, Ya'amod mi shiyirtze, call up the person with the name mi shiyirtze. However, the Maharil notes that that's not the appropriate thing necessarily to do. And the Mishnah Berurah, the way he understands, is that the way it would work is that you would work out with the person before who would want to get the Aliyah, and then you'd call him up. Meaning, mi shiyirtze, beforehand, the Gabbai would arrange with the particular person who wanted to receive the Aliyah. They would have a discussion. They would talk about it. That person would acquiesce to receiving the Aliyah. And then ultimately, that person would be called up, but not literally that you say mi shiyirtze. Another option, explains the Mishnah Berurah, is that you would give it to a person who maybe was in need of a few dollars, somebody who was having a hard time. You pay him a little bit of money to receive that Aliyah, and that person would receive the Aliyah. Even though, according to the Be'er Halakha, it doesn't seem that that's what explicitly is written in the Ramah, nonetheless, that ultimately became some of the customs that developed. But clearly you do see that the Tochacha, the klalos, were taken so seriously. Certain communities didn't want to read it. Certain communities didn't read it. Certain communities read it without a bracha. And certain communities, there was a great debate how you should be called up and if you should be called up. Of course, the Maharil does note, and the Magen Avraham quotes as well from the Sheher Knesset HaGdola, that indeed some had the custom that a great rabbi would receive that aliyah. An Adam Gadol would receive that aliyah. The Rav would receive that aliyah. The Maharil notes a different custom that it was arranged with the Shamus, who was responsible for many of the ins and outs and the day-to-day running of the shul, that he indeed would receive the aliyah if you weren't able to find the appropriate person to receive the aliyah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a number of these minhagim in Sifkatan Yud Zayin here in Siman Tav Chav Ches, and then mentions what's become the classic custom that the Baal Kriya would receive it. The person who is actually laning would receive the aliyah. There'd be no fighting, there'd be no issues. Who should get it? Should this person get it? Should the other person get it? It was understood that the Baal Kriya would get it. Other places had the custom that even though the Baal Kriya would get it, he would just go up and wouldn't even be called by name. And therefore, that would accomplish two things. There'd be no fighting in terms of who would receive the aliyah. You also wouldn't call the person up by name. And that would also accomplish the mi shiyirtze v'nachonu. And that's the appropriate thing to do, says the Mishnah Berurah. Indeed, that's become the very common practice amongst many shuls, that the Baal Kriya gets the aliyah and he goes up, sometimes by being called up and sometimes not being called up. But nonetheless, we should recognize the severity, the seriousness with which Chazal take the klalos, that they should be read, they must be read, they must be read prior to Shavuos and Sefer Vayikra, they must be read prior to Rosh Hashanah and Sefer Dvarim, Kedesh Tichle Shana Vekila Loseh, to finish the year and all of its klalos. And indeed, whoever is receiving the aliyah should recognize that it's something of note, it's something serious. Furthermore, many later poskim point out that if the Baal Kriya has somebody who he doesn't like in the minyan, or the Gabbai has somebody he doesn't like in the minyan, you shouldn't be thinking about that person, you shouldn't call that person up dafka for the aliyah. So much so that the Maharil writes that there was a custom that the Ani, the pauper, would receive the aliyah, and Maharil was very disturbed, very bothered by that, and said that this person already received so many klalos, he's had such a difficult life, he's had so many challenges already, what are you giving that person the aliyah for? And the Maharil opposed that that person should absolutely not receive the aliyah. So indeed, the klalos is something to take seriously, it's not something to take lightly. We should appreciate the klalos, but more than that, recognize that the nechama in Parshas Bechukosai of Zecharti Brisi Yaakov, Zecharti Brisi Yitzchak, Zecharti Brisi Avram, V'aretz Yisrael, that ultimately is the nechama that we have. And we band together, when we stick together as a klal, when we're ish echad b'lev echa, not only do we have the ability to be able to overcome and to trump the curses, the klalos that are being received, but moreover than that, it's a preparation, and it's the precursor, and it's the prerequisite in order to accept the Torah on Shavuos Haba'aleinu L'Tovah.